What is going on, my friends? It's Dave Sharp. Welcome to Wake Up Legendary. I am excited to talk to somebody in a unique niche this morning, and somebody who's got an incredible journey and some awesome momentum behind them. You can tell that people are resonating with his content, his message, and he has been doing this for 5 years online and 9 years total. So I'm also interested to find out what happened after that fourth year that brought Rad online. So let's hear it from the man himself. Rad, welcome to the show, brother.
Dave, pleasure to be here.
Cool, man. So I overheard you tell Matt that you were from Canada. We've got a lot of Canadians here as well. Are you still in Canada, or is that just where you're originally from?
I was born in Bulgaria, moved through Vancouver, Toronto, and Montreal, and now I'm in Mexico, just traveling.
Okay. Nice, man. So is that part of like what you've been able to do since you've gone on, since you took your business online 5 years ago?
More recently, I've been thinking about traveling for a long time. It's been the dream. And now I'm living that digital nomad lifestyle. So I'm in Mexico now. I'm going to be in Vietnam next month.
Come on, man. That's awesome, bro. That's really cool. So take us back and tell us, what happened, how you even got into all of this in the first place, remembering that we here focus on the core four. You know, we focus on how to package and sell information via courses, coaching, or events. And now it can be a live event too. You know what I mean? Through Zoom or through some sort of going live. I mean, people are going live and charging access to their Facebook groups. There's all kinds of different ways that we can do a live event nowadays, as you know. But then they can also be affiliates and sell other people's information, their courses, their coaching, their events, their software, or any other products that they want to be an affiliate of. But I'm so excited to talk to you because you've packaged some of your knowledge, passion, and experience into this business. What got you started in it in the first place? How did you, even before it came online? And am I accurate that you started 9 years ago and brought it online 5?
Yeah. So I'll give you everyone a quick recap. 9 years ago, 10 years ago, I got into personal training from reading books, and it started from a self-passion. Realized that I was a gamer. I used to be an addict playing 10 hours a day, eating chips, popcorn, pizza, just super unhealthy. And it started from self-development, reading those, you know, Thinking Grow Rich, How to Win Friends, Influence People. And then I got really into the health and wellness space. 5 years ago, I was living in China and I started a YouTube channel. So that was really my first being online and present.
Okay.
And if you watch my old videos, it's like, here's how to lose fat while not eating. And so speed that 4 years, 1 year ago, my friend showed me TikTok. He's like, are you on TikTok, bro? I'm like, no. Okay, let's film some videos. So I've had 4 years to build up in-camera experience. We shot a couple of videos, beautiful backgrounds, Chinese medicine acupoints. And from there, it just started growing. So basically it took me 4 years to get 50,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Yeah.
And 1 year to get 500,000 across TikTok and Instagram.
Yeah.
And
what do you take away from that?
It takes time, practice, but I'd like to give your listeners like real practical advice for how to do that process.
Cool.
So take me for instance, I'm in acupoints, Chinese medicine. What I would do if I didn't have my start right now is I would go on TikTok, I'd go on Instagram and search Chinese medicine, acupoints, see what the big videos are, go to those creators, see what kind of funnels they have, what kind of lead magnets, what kind of actual products, and then start brainstorming. Okay. Here's the videos they use that went popular. How can I recreate those in my own way, my own fun spin? And I'd love to share some ways to make videos much better and audio much better.
Cool.
But basically, that's the start. If you have no followers, no base, you got to do the research, see what's working, especially across different platforms. TikTok is the one to hit. You're going to get the most growth there versus Instagram is a much slower burn versus YouTube. You better be really good at making videos at that point.
And I love that you have the long form video experience because you know what, you know, the difference, you know, the other side of the coin to the short form explosive viral content. And obviously you just laid that out really clearly. Talk to us a little bit about, just so everybody understands what you mean when you say practice that video experience, because even though it took you, you know, 4 years to get 50,000 followers on YouTube, and you, I would assume that you also made money along those 4 years in your business, which kept you going. And my guess would be the most valuable skill or thing that came from those 4 years was your video presence, or the skills that you developed being on video. Am I right about that? And could you talk to people about what you mean by that video presence? I think that was the exact words that you used.
Yeah, video presence is, if you watch my videos, you would think I'm an extroverted person. In real life, I'm a shy introvert that's not expressing with the hands, not speaking up loudly. So it's all practice. You just have to watch yourself on video and be like, would I want to watch this? Does this feel good? And right now I'm looking at the camera. So many people watch themselves on the selfie and it completely disconnects you from your audience.
Yeah.
So number one, look at the camera. Number two, wipe the camera before you film on it. It's going to just, seriously, I didn't do this before. I started just like, wow, I'm shooting on an HD camera now. That being said, also avoid the selfie mode.
I'm going to take a clean pair of socks and just wipe my, and I would do it with a dirty pair as well. So I'm not like acting like I wouldn't do it with a dirty pair, but let me just clean mine off, because maybe I actually think I'm coming through more clearly now as well.
There you go. Magic. It's huge.
It is. It looks magical, but what you're laying out and kind of explaining is it's not magic. So continue with what you mean by the video presence and yeah, those small little things, looking at the camera, wiping the camera off so there's not fingerprints or whatever on your screen.
Mm-hmm. And then you got to use the hands. You got to animate yourself. You got to make sure you're cropped properly. Instagram and TikTok have different crops. They have different little sidebar buttons. A lot of the time you're too far and you're getting covered by it, or you're too far, the audio is not working. But basically you got to remember, if the camera adds 10 pounds, it takes 25% energy off of you as well. So even though I feel like I'm speaking all animated and yelling, I'm probably barely grabbing your attention at this point, versus if I was sitting and talking and having a regular conversation with you like this, there's no, wow, people are gone. Their attention's gone. So on top of that, if you can, in the first 3 seconds, let's say we're going to talk about losing weight. Hey, you want to lose weight? Make sure you grab some water. And then like you're adding something into the frame. I've noticed that works better than jump cutting. Like if you can just motion the camera into whatever you want to cover and talk about, that'll make your videos much better.
Jump cutting, for those who don't know, is cutting out the little oohs, ahs, and ums, or just even dead space between every word. There's some people who really take it to an extreme level, and it can be very annoying to some people, but it does move the video along and keep your attention, because it makes it feel like they're getting to the point faster.
Very important too. Watch time it plays a key factor in that. And depending on your demographic, if you're targeting older people that don't use cell phones a lot and they need things slower and to be heard, they'll sit there and watch. But if you're targeting 20, 30 year olds that are like bam, 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 they won't sit there and watch. So those jump cuts become much more needed and necessary. What I try to do in my videos, and probably I'm doing this right now reflexively, is I try to speak quickly, because you want people to, again, bam, bam, bam. But also if you brush a point really quick, like I show a lot of acupoints. So I'll be like, here's the acupoint. And then I'll come off and talk about it. They're like, where's the acupoint? I got to watch it again. Yeah. That helps you get more watch time, more retention. So don't like manipulate this too much to a level, but you do need to speak quickly so that you can give the information as fast as you can. Especially as the video opens, that's also a huge part of presence in the camera. If the video opens, it's like, hey guys, it's Rad here from Online Coach XYZ. That's 6 seconds where like they don't give a F. I don't know if I'm allowed to swear here. They don't care. They just want to
say, let it go.
Fucking A. Fucking A. Okay. You want to lose weight? Here's the top three things to do. You've got low back pain. Here's the spot to press. Boom. You're immediately into it. They're like, oh, here's the spot to press. Next 2 seconds, it's a green screen of the acupoint coming up, showing you why it works. And at the end, make sure to follow if you want more stuff like this.
Yeah, so
hope people are taking notes.
yeah, well, they'll have to watch it again. You know what I mean? In order to get the these are great points. These are great points. So, it may feel unnatural. I think the big kind of takeaway that I've taken from the things you've said so far is you're going to do some things that are going to feel unnatural or be unnatural to you. And it's like learning how to act. Like this is a mini master class on acting lessons. Wait, I mean video presence, as you said, video presence. It's like learning a new skill the same way that you would take acting classes to learn how to have presence on in. Don't beat yourself up either, folks, because most people go to acting lessons, and not that we're acting. I'm just using an analogy to compare that most likely a lot of these people who play amazing characters in movies also they don't have that same personality off camera. And so it's the I think the beauty of this business is, of course, you get to keep your authentic voice, keep your authentic message, and you're doing, you know, you're this is real life. But what you're talking about is amplifying a few things that are basically marketing pieces. These are marketing, this is marketing psychology that is really the difference maker between amazing products getting left on the shelf, like many of them do, who have shitty marketing, and getting your product out into people's hands. And so, what else? What else have you done with your content to, you know, increase your video presence?
Well, something that's really important people need to start doing as you experiment with different content, different styles. Let's say you're talking to yourself, you're using a green screen. For me, I do Qigong videos, Acupoint videos, is to go through the analytics and see, like, all right, this one hit 100,000 views, 1 million views, 500 views, whatever's big for you. Then you go and, like, what about it? Was the intro really nice? Was the outro? Did people comment and say something? And you try and recreate that experience. Whether it's almost identical, like here's the Acupoint for sleep. Oh, here's another Acupoint for sleep. Recreate it and see if it'll work the magic again. What
That
happens
format,
is,
right? That kind of the format of the video.
as you start growing and the algorithm gets to know who to share your stuff to, you'll realize that, especially on TikTok, most of the people that get to see your videos are not following you. Because if you have 100, 200, 500, 1,000, if you're following people and you don't, even if you like their content, if you don't double tap, like, comment, engage with it, Instagram, TikTok's not going to show it to you anymore. But they're going to show it to other people similar. So you might think, well, I'm repeating myself. This sounds the same. But 80% of the people listening either don't remember what you said a month ago or just completely new audiences.
You can never it's hard to wear something out. We get, and I found this to be true for myself and other entrepreneur friends, we get tired and bored of our message before our audience does, right? We get shiny object syndrome, we get bored, and we then change the message. And a lot of times I've seen entrepreneurs self-destruct or self-sabotage their business because they just got bored with it. Your message is your audience is not bored with it. They probably haven't even heard it yet. Keep saying it, right? Or if you
Well, I,
find the theme or format, keep doing it.
that's exactly, and I'll tell you, I switched. I almost imploded on myself. I was growing Acupoint's Chinese medicine, but there was a point, it's like, how many times can I tell this point in this way? So then I diverged into lifestyle content. I'm a lifestyle coach, so how to lose weight, how to build muscle, and those videos did 10% of what my other videos were doing, and I did that for months. I even came out with a book and a product. And it just didn't move as well. And then I put out a couple Acupoints videos. They blew up again. It's like, what am I doing? Just make the lead magnet Acupoints, make the product Acupoints. This is exactly what people are here for. You
So
know, like,
interesting, bro.
they don't want to watch me workouts and stuff.
Can you remember what was going through your mind when you started to veer?
Yeah, I was getting bored of Acupoints.
Yeah, you
What
were
I
getting
really
bored.
like is giving advice to people. Like this, like just straight up advice versus a 15-second clip of press this point. So I was like, oh, I can do both. And then I started doing way less of the Chinese medicine. And yeah, the growth petered off, the engagement petered off. That's not what people were there to see me for. At least that's not, you know, if you post too many niches, too many things, the algorithm doesn't even know how to present you anymore.
Yeah.
You lose it.
Yeah, I think there's a real, like, this is a big thing for entrepreneurs. It's not just specific to marketers. It's an people, and I think people in general, of course, but this boredom, like getting tired of doing something, and we can't stop with a job because that's our job and we have to report in order to get a paycheck. But when it comes to building a business and you have this ultimate freedom to kind of call the shots, you could hit the gas, you could hit the brake, you could turn right, you could turn left. Like, you're in total control of where this business vehicle goes. And yeah, it's always like, if I think back to my career, the majority of times that I had like downturns or lulls in my growth, it was because I changed something. I deviated. I stopped. And then I had to kind of come back in and start over again. And that was that. I had the same feeling. I wish I would have never stopped. And so this is a big thing for a lot of entrepreneurs, I think, in our community. Especially when you're new and you've never heard this stuff before, and you're feeling like that in your first week or your first month, you know?
Yeah. And just getting back to that, if you are in the beginning stages, something they often recommend doing is batching videos, like shooting 20, 30 videos at a time. I think that's great for practicing a skill of being in front of the camera. You make it, you watch it. Can you make it better? Can you make more content? For me, being more experienced, being online, if you're in a 5, 10, 50,000 kind of range and you've been doing this a while, I recommend filming every single day. You can batch, you can do big chunks, but when I take 2 weeks off and I batch, it's like, just post. It's so much harder to come back to get that presence in front of the camera. It's like doing push-ups. I stopped doing push-ups for 2 weeks and I come back like, oh, I don't really want to do push-ups. That was bad. Well, maybe I don't want to be here anymore. So it's just every day showing up. I do I film a video every morning, edit it, post it. Captions, that's a real magic thing to add.
Before you go to captions, I want to comment my experience sometimes it takes me a couple of takes just to get warmed up, just to get my mouth moving and working correctly. You know? Yeah. I mean, I've done mouth exercise, you know, and I'm not saying this is a routine that I have to do my mouth exercise before I do videos, but sometimes my mouth just ain't working right, man. And it takes 5-10 minutes of getting it going, talking, to actually get the muscles moving and the words coming out the way that I kind of want them to, or at least halfway the way I want them to. So I think that's a great point that none of us are. You know, I've gotten better at being able to film and not have to do multiple takes. I have gotten better at that. But creating something like impactful or saying something in less than a minute for me is hard. So, you know, you put the getting it out and getting it out the way that you want it, and then saying it all in like 15 or 30 seconds, dude, you know, that's a skill. And I think sometimes we just want to be masters at it too quick. And it's so good to hear somebody like you say, hey, yeah, I batch it. I film. How many times are you at the point now? And again, you've been doing this online for 5 years, including building a YouTube channel. Are you a one take? Do you like, what does a filming sesh look like with you?
filming sesh could be 5-10 minutes. If I get it the first take, wow, amazing, good job me. But that's usually when I'm being lazy too. If I film a just straight 10-15 second video, no cuts, usually my videos have 5 to 7 cuts in it, so it's like maybe I'll do it 2-3 times. Okay. But my YouTube buildup, my channel used to be me talking for 5 to 10 minutes on a subject uncut, so just that's years of me practicing looking at a camera and just keeping my train of thought without losing it.
Yeah.
No, I can. Way harder, but it's still, it's hard. It's hard. The amount of times I've gotten to the end of the video and been like, make sure you go download my top 5. And I want to do it in one shot. Let's redo the whole thing because I fucked the end up.
Well, nowadays you really just edit. Yeah, nowadays with even TikTok, right? There's more editing capabilities even in the app for you to redo a specific section versus redoing the whole video, right?
There is, but there's something to be said. Like sometimes I'll spend 3 hours editing a video and it does poorly. Other times I just do a 15 second straight shot. And that's what I'm saying, bring the cup in, turn a little bit. People prefer live action cuts versus a swoosh, whip, up, down. It's more authentic. It's more fun. It's like, oh, you really took the time to do this.
Yeah.
That being said, whatever works. Like
I had a guy, we had a guy in our community who did a prop with an Apple. He was talking about something, maybe that you could work online for Apple, because he was talking about various different side hustles and so forth that you could do on the internet. And he was talking about, well, you can make, I think, something dollars an hour working doing customer support for Apple or something like that. But the magic of the video was he started out and he had drilled a hole in the bottom of an Apple and he had an Apple on his finger. And just that little prop. And then he threw the Apple, actually. I think he threw the Apple behind him. And the video went, Ian McClure, for those of you who know who Ian is, that video went just exploded. And it was just the hook, you know, it was the prop and the message, but it just caught people's attention. Whereas I know tons of other people recreated that, or maybe even he borrowed that concept from somebody else. But when he added that little prop that he brought in, it really made it so much more interesting.
Yeah, and probably people either swipe down and swipe back up to see it because it was so interesting, or they waited for the video to finish to see it again. You never know. Yeah. Like sometimes you just never know. You got to post. Me and my friend started TikTok the same time. We post so many things in the beginning, like 5 times a day. I hope this works, whatever. We're just playing around.
Yeah.
And again, it's like we spend so much time on certain videos and not much happened. And the ones where it's like, this is really stupid. I shouldn't even post it. 4 million views is something crazy. It's like this one.
That's all it takes. That's a phenomenon that I've not been able to explain in my marketing career for the past decade plus, is that when I really try to make something so perfect and so good, and I think it's going to masterpiece, it flops. And then when I just throw spaghetti at the wall, it's just a random filming or whatever, or a campaign that I came up with, pulled out of my ass. I'm just going to try it. It's like, holy shit. I can't explain that phenomenon, dude. But like, I guess if you were to simplify that, or what's the takeaway from that, that you could articulate to people, what's the lesson in that?
Honestly, the lesson is you almost don't want that to happen until you're ready. If you don't have a funnel set up, if you don't have a backlog of videos, the amount of times I've clicked on a video with 10 million views and then seen the creator only has a few thousand followers, it's like, all right, this is a viral video, but no one gives a flying fart after, because it's 20 seconds of a dog doing something crazy, but it's not bringing you business and it's not bringing you clients or leads and generating. So really you have to make kind of 3 types of videos to be really effective. So you focus on the viral, bringing people in. You got to focus on long form explanation. So like really breaking down what you're talking for the nerds that want to go deeper. It's not going to get as many views. That's okay. Mm-hmm. And then more personal content, so that you've brought all these people in, they keep seeing you, but if all they see you is a 10 second clip of one point here, then they really don't have a personal connection and they're not really going to support or really go into what you're giving. So for me, going live is important. I just started a podcast, just anything that you can go that's helping create connection and authenticity with people, and not just, okay, next viral idea that has nothing to do with my business. It just doesn't work. You want to really just slow build real quality, real following. And one day one video will go viral and then you're going to boost your following by 50,000. Your funnel is going to be filled. It builds that way versus just viral.
Well, it's really, we see this a lot. We see this often here in our community, is that people do come in and want to just get started, you know, want to just go and just kind of, you know, get in there. And sometimes we have that, like you say, that luck at the beginning or whatever. And you're right, it does become a curse. The other reason why it becomes a curse, if they're not, they cannot be set up. It's a curse because you're really just going viral for no reason. You know what I mean? The second reason why it's a curse is because, or it can be a curse, is because the expectations become so high that now nothing else is ever good enough. And it's the small wins in your business that are going, that matter the most. It is the longer form videos or the live where you get a little bit more personal or whatever that sucks people in, that makes them want to become customers, not just consumers. And so, you know, sometimes when we go live, we've got those big expectations, those big numbers, all of the emphasis is on the number, and nothing else is ever good enough, you know, and I've seen that happen quite a bit. So for those of you who are hoping and praying and wishing for that live, just remember that there, it's a wonderful thing, and nobody's going to say, that sucks, you're doing it wrong if you go viral in your first week. But it really is it's better to focus on base hits than grand slams in this business. Do you agree?
100%. And part of that, I'd love to talk to mindset and some of the struggles I've had.
Yeah. And we're coming back to captions too. Let's start with mindset.
Captions. Once I flipped the switch into going, this is a business, I stopped scrolling Instagram and TikTok. I got rid of all the accounts I'm following that had nothing to do with me developing or like close friends. And then me posting on there, it's not just a whim. It's like, this is business. These numbers don't affect me. These are the likes. These are the videos. Let's just research. Versus when you post, hey, I was at a concert last night, or here's me at the beach, cute pic, and you get like low views or high views. It really impacts you as a person versus separating yourself as like, God, that's the business. How could I shape the business better? It just happens in my face.
Can you say that one more? That's really important. And I feel like I didn't even hear that as clearly as I need to hear it. Can you say that one more time?
Dave, you need to separate you from the business and the brand, even though it's your face, it's my face. And it's a separate entity that you don't have a connection to. You will still have a connection, but it's much easier. And then it makes it much easier to post. It's like, I got to show up to work. Did I decide I'm going to work? This is work. Versus, I got to post a beach pic of me shirtless, see how many likes I get. Oh, I didn't get any likes. Maybe delete that one. No, it's like, here's a business. There's a reason I'm posting this, to help people, to generate leads, to expand. And in the cycle, this is so important because I've been through this a number of times and it really sucks. When you get a giant explosion, you're like, wow, this is amazing. This is it. I've finally done it. And then it like flattens. You get like 20, 30,000 in a day, 50,000 a week. And then it's like, ooh, I'm losing followers for 2 months. Do I keep doing this? What's wrong with me? I'm going to quit. This isn't worth it anymore. When you have a separate business mind to it, I'm not saying it's still a struggle. There's been days where I'm like, fuck it, I'm done. This isn't going anywhere. At like 500,000, it's like, nah, I'm done. This isn't going anywhere. How stupid does that? It's all reframing. Because in the beginning, 100 followers, 100 subs, 1,000 subs, 10,000. Now it's like, okay, a couple hundred, like, maybe when I'm at 1,000,000, I'll feel something again. But you have to realize, like, when you get there, you can feel empty and there's nothing. So don't prize the number. Prize the showing up every morning and working the craft. It's a business. Everyday showing up.
You're really, you're speaking to, you know, you're speaking to a lot of our experience, I think, because even with me, there has been emptiness and little fulfillment at certain periods of time in my career when I was making the most money, right? And actually, that, you know, our company is doing extremely well right now. And so overall, I am not unfulfilled whatsoever. I'm highly fulfilled. However, there's days when I have that exact feeling that you were just laying out, right? And so a couple of years ago, one of the things that I did was stop posting so much personal stuff on the internet. I just stopped doing it altogether because I was really confusing my brain, you know what I mean, about who was reacting to what. And I was confusing where I should give the credit to or take the credit away from, as you explained, my self-esteem, give, but take away, right? If it doesn't go viral, now all of a sudden I'm not as good of a person, or my family isn't as pretty, or people don't want to hear as much about whatever the things I might tell myself. And so that was one of the things that I did personally, I think, to help clarify my intentions on the internet and clarify what I was doing. I'm building a business with this, my self-esteem, my identity in who I am is not dependent upon the things that I'm posting on the internet. That is my personal life. That is over here. It's a separate thing. Am I picking up what you're putting down? Is that what you're talking about? Because I think that's why that hit me so hard, because that really is a deep point that you brought up there, and it hit home for me.
Exactly. Yeah. And again, that's the danger of going viral in the beginning when you don't have that separation. And it's just a giant hit. It's like taking a giant line of cocaine for a couple of weeks and then it dries out and you're just sitting there going, oh, and I've seen this because I've worked with.
Sounds like a man speaking from experience, you know.
Well, I've seen this in me, in my friends. I'll see some guy will come up on my feed. It's like, oh, this guy's going to blow up. He's only 5,000 followers right now. Sure enough, I check the next day, they've gained like 10,000. So I'll reach out to them. It's like, hey, here's some advice. Like, it's not going to last forever. Be prepared for that drop. So it's like, here's the advice to ride it up and like maximize it. But realize this has happened to me so many times in the years, to be like, boom, flat, boom, flat, boom, flat. You know, even in just in any growth cycle, it's just really.
Well, what are we going through with that. United States stock market right now? We're going through a similar thing there. I mean, if you look at that trend, it's exactly what you just described, which is a lot of up, but also a lot of down, not just flat, but down. I haven't had that experience. I've had the flat, and it's mostly a feeling, not even a fact, right? It's more of how I feel that it's flat. You know, more than, you know, for me, I'm not a super analytical guy, so I'm not always looking at the numbers. I'm just not. It's just not my personality. There are people who, and I've had to get better at that, and I've had to put systems and people in place to help with that. But I just wanted to say that flat feeling, as you pointed out a few moments ago, can both be in your numbers. Your numbers can go flat, but your feeling can also go flat. And so it's important to look out for both of those, I think, is what I hear you saying. And also prepare yourself for those monotonous moments versus just always expecting to be on cloud nine, that pink cloud. That baby's gonna come back down to earth is what you're saying, and prepare for that.
What I'm saying, one of my best friends, Kyle, we started our TikTok journey together. He's almost 500,000 just on TikTok. He was getting like hundreds of thousands of views on his videos. And then with like 400,000 followers, and then out of nowhere for 2-3 months was like 300 video views per video. 300.
Wow, dude.
I can't even fathom going from millions to a couple hundred, and the content didn't change, but he kept grinding. He just kept posting. I was like, oh my God, like this is it. His account's nuked. Why is he still posting? And he just kept posting. And then another video went like 4 million and everything resurged again. It's all good. But like, just the, God diggity damn, right?
Fucking we're not talking A. about,
it's not just flat, dude. It's when you lose that much.
Right. The reason why I did the old hat throw right there was because I cannot tell you how, first let me ask you, what is your opinion on getting shadow banned? Because that's what people say all the time. My content's gone flat. I must be shadow banned. Rad, can you speak to this, bro? I need some help on this, man.
If it's real, I've been shadow banned enough times to know that I've been unbanned enough times. Yeah, okay, probably if you talk about really deep censored stuff, you can, but the algorithm is the algorithm. If you're not doing what it loves in the moment.
It's not like they're not looking to like come down on people and be like, oh, somebody flagged your content or whatever. I'm going to shadow ban you and let you keep posting content, but not show it to anybody. I mean, I think what you just said is right. And it's hard for us to accept that maybe we had a little bit of luck. And now all of a sudden, this is the real baseline for our content, and we just need to get better. Or it's just hard for us to accept we never got off the ground in the first place.
Exactly. It's always, you can always do something. You can always tweak something and change. Don't blame the algorithm. If you blame the algorithm, you're never going to succeed. I've talked to other creators who blew up, got 50, 60,000, 150,000 followers in a year. And they're like, oh, the algorithm's just suppressing me now. My videos aren't getting the same. It's like, yeah, it changes. The viewers change.
Yeah.
It's different because also if you get 100,000 followers in a week, of course your videos are going to do well because you have fresh 100,000 followers being shown your videos. After a month, a lot of those people don't keep liking, don't keep commenting, and that pool is dried out. You now have to get into a new pool with new people that don't know you.
Yeah.
And wait for that next viral bigger shot. But in the meantime, it's because I've seen this so many times, like, oh, I wish I had my funnel ready. Oh, I wish I had this ready. This wasn't ready. And now I still feel like a beginner, like, it's still not perfect, but I'd be happy if I get a viral. I think things are lined up enough that I'd really benefit. So each cycle, each boom and bust is a growth and learning of, okay, this should have been in place. This should have been in place. Oh, I wish I had this in place when this one went blue.
Yeah. So how are you monetizing your traffic? We obviously, like our company is set up in a very simple way. We have an appetizer, which is $7. It's a 15-day challenge that lets people learn the kind of the core foundational skills of kind of freelance digital marketing and selling information via those core four methods that I outline. And then we have our business blueprints, which are kind of the blueprint masterclass for each one of those business models. And we have four of those blueprints. And so we sell those on the back end as people are going through our challenge. We do that mostly through video form, and then they speak to an advisor. And then, of course, there's other ways that people can monetize their traffic. What are you doing and how has your monetization strategy maybe evolved or changed over the couple of years or the last 5 years that you've been doing it?
Yeah, it's definitely changed a lot. On YouTube, I used to rely a lot on AdSense, and that was doing really well. Mm-hmm. In person, I would train like 8 to 10 clients in a day. That was doing really well.
Mm-hmm.
COVID hit. I had to adapt, do more online stuff. So this year I published a book, How to Lose Weight Without Working Out or Counting Calories. That's doing pretty well on Amazon. I sell it myself. And then more recently with like the AccuPoints stuff, I put out a top 5 AccuPoints guide. So people can download that for free. Then they get shown my AccuPoints 101 ebook, my Chinese Medicine 101 ebook. It's kind of like all bundled in a package. You came, you saw me on Instagram for I don't do any paid marketing. I need to learn Facebook. I need to learn YouTube ad. This is all organic. So It only succeeds onto my ability to create and keep drawing people in. So that's a kind of a flaw, but also a benefit to my end. So I make a big video.
It's called sweat equity. I mean, really at the end of the day. Equity. Yeah. It's sweat equity, which is one way to get rich. I mean, there's a couple of different ways to get rich. You can inherit something, you can win the lotto, and then everybody else has to put in sweat equity. And that's exactly what you and I are doing, and everybody else here, I think.
Well, so the genius with the funnels and the systems is as they get better, the sweat equity earns you more.
Correct.
If I spend 10 minutes making my video and it gets 10,000, 50,000, 100,000, I've spent 10 minutes. The funnel's there. People are coming in.
Yeah.
There's not really a problem there.
Well, that's a high leverage. That's where the leverage comes in. And that's where it makes it all, that's where the growth compounds, is if you can get your process to convert and you can actually sell, you know, in our case, the reason why we love digital products is because they have such high profit margins. You know what I mean? There's no overhead. There's no manufacturing cost. And it's not a less valuable product. Actually, society has already said that knowledge is the most valuable product, and our entire society is created to groom us from an early age to prepare to take out a $50,000 to $100,000 loan in order to go get that additional knowledge and piece of paper when we've already done 18 years of school, but now it's time to go to university. And I'm not throwing too many darts at that, especially not at the doctors and this people who I want to be thoroughly trained before they operate on my body. But for the rest of us, you know, there's a lot of people who are regretful of that choice and now have those loans which are unforgivable. And have always been unforgivable, even in bankruptcy. And so, there's people are already predisposed, I guess, to buy education, to value knowledge. And now I think they would just prefer to learn it from an average everyday person that they can trust versus going in and learning it from a professor who may not have even done what they're teaching. But you seem like you have something that's coming up for you right now. What comes up for you after I say that, or piggybacking on what you were talking about before?
I think you and your audience need to hear this the most. You know it. Your audience, some of them might not know. You can take your money and invest it in the S&P 500, get 8% return a year. Cool. Maybe you retire with $1-2 million at the end of it. Or you take $100, $500, $1,000 and invest in the S&P 500 and develop a skill that's going to get you paid. So instead of spending $50,000 on getting an art degree or a philosophy degree, it's like, man, if I spent $20,000 on marketing courses with Dave, masterminds, whoever, and I learn and apply that knowledge, okay, that $20,000 could be 8% for 20 years. Let's call it $40,000. I don't know what it is. Or I could take that $20,000 and make $5 million with that knowledge.
And then put that money to work for me in the S&P 500, right? You know, but I think that I've talked about this a lot lately, because even in the online business kind of guru space, there's not a lot of people talking about how to actually build wealth. And it's really it's always like how to make quick money, but how do you build wealth? Well, you have to have, it's real simple. You don't have to take a course to learn how to do it. You have to have a cash flow business, a cash cow business. It's got to create strong cash flow. Right. And then, right, milk those udders. And then you put that money that you've made from that cash cow business into investments, buy real estate, dump it into index funds, which will earn you, you know, as you've said, 8. I think the average is around 10 over the last 100 years, 10%. So, yeah, you're going to earn 8 to 10, 9, 10% on your money. But damn it, you've already worked for that money. Now you go put that money to work for you. And I think with us entrepreneurs, what we tend to do is we tend to focus so much on the kind of, okay, get rich quick stuff. I need something fast, that, you know, we might find something. We might make a couple of bucks, but we didn't have a plan. We weren't looking at the big picture. And even when we started to make money, and this was my case when I first started, I didn't really know what to do with it. So I bought dumb stuff. You know, I spent it on, I thought I needed more mentors and coaches. And so I would go out and I gave money to people who were undeserving. I should have never spent that money with them. It's just everybody who says they're a coach is not worthy of my money. I might have bought, you know, jewelry or a car or something that maybe was not the smartest decision. And so I think that also on top of these other points that you know, and this is mindset stuff that you've made, I think it's important. And I wonder if you could speak to this about, you know, managing your finances, even living below your means, and sort of managing your budget and your lifestyle now that you're the one who's ultimately the boss, who's in control. There's not somebody else who's telling me when to show up for work. I don't have a 401k set up where they're matching. I mean, entrepreneurship is different in that sense. So how have you navigated all of that in both the times when the money was great or the times when it flattened out a little bit more, to be able to now ultimately get to this place, dude, where you're living this really, truly cool digital nomad life that you talked about in the first minute of the show?
Yeah, it's very important to have good fundamentals. So just reading books on financing. I'm fortunate for the most part, I had that just from reading books, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And a lot of those books, they're talking about saving and lifestyle upgrading, So it already put it into my mind, like, when you make an extra 10,000, don't spend an extra 8,000, just keep living at that same level. And there was a point on my YouTube where out of nowhere, it just exploded and I made like $8,000 a month. I was like, holy fuck. All right, now I have some money. I can invest in education. For me, that's where my money goes to, like better training, more coaching, more experience. But I'm fortunate enough that I live a minimalist lifestyle. So I don't have a car. I don't really have much. I have a backpack, like literally a small school bag that I'm traveling the world with right now.
Wow, so interesting.
My laptop, I have my Yeti mic, a couple t-shirts, couple pairs of underwear. Like,
nice.
Don't get sucked into those money pits of trying to impress other people. And the beauty is, I'd recommend people look into minimalism, is that as you start to get rid of all this crap, I believe in a soul, spirit, energy. When you buy something and you own it, a piece of your soul is now in there. So the more things you own, the more your soul and your mind is spread. So let's say you have a storage locker of stuff here, a storage locker of stuff there, a room that's completely cluttered. Your brain, on like a mental, physical level, it understands and it's there and it's trying to preserve that wealth or that stuff that you don't even use, you haven't touched in years, but for some reason you want to keep holding it.
Yeah.
But on a spiritual, energetic, like, you put your soul into that. And until you let it go, your soul is never really with you. So maybe I have 95% of my soul on me right now, 5% in the bank and in investments. But the less stuff you have, the more it's like, here. Some of my soul's in the bank, I gotta say. You know?
That's some deep shit, though. Honestly, though, man. I mean, it really is overwhelming when you've got a lot of stuff. And I do think you know, it's overwhelming spiritually, obviously, however you define that. And it's overwhelming mentally. It's overwhelming emotionally. I mean, I still struggle with this to this day of keeping my space decluttered. It's mostly clutter, keeping my work, my desktop. I mean, I've usually got, because I just created a PowerPoint slides or something, I've got 5,000 things, my disk space things popping up on my computer. I don't even really know how to operate this computer, if I'm honest, dude. I don't know how to clear the space. I guess I got to delete stuff or whatever it was, you know, but I have made efforts, because I have noticed what you're talking about over the years. The more I get cluttered, and both with physical stuff, digital stuff, and ideas, that I can begin to feel really weighed down and scattered. And if, you know, you just describe something from a very spiritual perspective, as if what I heard you describing is as a feeling as if your soul is kind of scattered all over and you don't really have it all in yourself. And so that's important to you, to feel like you have, you know, all of your heart and soul in focus is on you, in you, and you have control over it. And it's not spread around in various belongings. I think for those, if people can relate to that, that's wonderful. And I think just a general feeling of overwhelm and feeling scattered is very common, especially with entrepreneurs. One of the assignments that we give people when they get started is to very simply look at their wallet and declutter it. And you'd be amazed by how many, piles of, you know, gum wrappers or various things. And that's just one little thing in our life. But it begins the process. Some people don't have a purse, so they go to their closet. I've done this recently, Rad. When I started doing this show, I'm not a fashionista or whatever anyways, if that's the right word to use. I'm not a fashion star. I mean, the way that I looked when my wife met me, I'm lucky I landed her. I think she looked at me and said, he's got potential, but I'm going to change the way he looks. And she did. And I look cooler now. But I basically just, you know, every morning kind of pick up a shirt off the floor that I probably dropped there yesterday or took off after the show and just put a tank top on. But as long as it's black, it's simple for me. And my closet is full of just black legendary shirts. So I don't have this big decision-making process. That was another thing that I started doing to clear my mental, emotional, and spiritual space in the morning, was just cutting down on all the decisions that I had to make about what I'm wearing, what I'm going to eat. Now, every morning, I usually have an RX bar, chocolate sea salt. cup of coffee, kind of the same thing. And it really has helped me. I started a couple of years ago bringing my office or my lunch to office, you know, because there was a time where it was like Uber Eats or go somewhere, and it just scattered my whole day. So I started just bringing my lunch, and it changed my life, you know, just because it was simpler. Things were clear. I was less scattered. I felt less scattered and ultimately more connected to myself. It's a great point, dude. Minimalism. I have not looked into it yet. And I, because I have a family, so it might be somewhat difficult, but I think that the concept has always been attractive to me, and keeping my space clean has always made me more productive. And I think those little things are important. I'm glad you brought that up. We're coming to the end. What else, piggyback on that, or what else could we learn from you in just the last 5 minutes here that we have you before you take off to Vietnam?
Yeah, just to piggyback off of that last, the minimalism. A lot of times people buy things to make themselves upgraded to look better. Women spend an hour doing makeup, men buy Ferraris, big houses. It's to see like, hey, I'm valuable because of these things outside of me, versus I'm trying to be valuable because of my soul, who I am, how I treat you on the daily. We have to realize the reason that Gucci, Chanel, whatever can sell for so much is because, ooh, I'm wearing Chanel. I'm associated to that brand. You know, it's a programming that we have in our society to try and associate with something outside of us to make
Yeah.
it seem like we're valuable. And people really don't give a shit. Only I give a shit if I'm associated to Ferrari because I get to drive one or Tesla. But I'd encourage people to really spend time on spiritual development, self-development, being kinder human beings to people. You know, they say, Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends, Influence People.
Yeah.
The way to get people interested in you is to be interested in them. That's it. Someone else buys a car, like, wow, that's a great car, dude. I love it. Amazing. Can I take a ride? Versus, I just bought this new car, man. I'm so awesome now because I got this car.
No, I've totally gone through that to where I started making money and I was like, oh, now I can buy shit, you know, to show people how valuable I am. You know what I mean? And yeah, you know what I ended up feeling when I was wearing or having things with that energy, I felt uncomfortable. I didn't feel like myself. It didn't make me feel better. So I do happen to have some things that I enjoy doing, some hobbies that do cost money to be able to do them, but now I really do them for me, and I do them because I enjoy them, not to impress others. And that has been a journey to get there. I really appreciate you bringing that up. One thing that I want to just talk about is the captions. We were reminded here, as you can see, we didn't go back. I brought it up, but we didn't go back to it. What
Okay,
was your
real
tip
quick.
about the captions?
You have to have them. You have to be in control of them. So simple on Instagram, you can just manually put them in as a sticker. You just click on the stickers, captions, make it look nice. That's your 30-second fix. There's a really nice app called CapCut. That one's free. Takes a little bit of learning to use, but import the bold font. I'm going quick here. The bold font, import it. Start to learn how to use it. And then Captions, that's another app. That one you have to pay. I think it's like $8 a month. It makes them really nice, really poppy. What you want to do is
Really?
stack as many things as you can in your favor. Good subject, good captions, good audio, good video, good lighting, quick cuts. You never know which one's going to go viral, but if you stack more good things in there, it's a higher chance of going viral. And there's a lot of
Totally.
viral videos with nice captions because a lot of people don't listen with sound on. That's really important to realize. They don't have sound on. So they swipe past your video if there's no captions.
Are you sure we have heard people say this? But you're convinced in that people are watching without the sound on.
Yes. I've also had several deaf people reach out to me and be like, I really
Okay.
like your videos. I want to hear them. Also, if you're using music off of Instagram or TikTok in different countries, that music doesn't have royalty licensing. Therefore, no audio will come through on that video. And if there is no captions, even if the person's listening with audio, nothing's going to happen.
Okay.
That's
Wow,
huge.
people are saying, would people sound off in the comments? I'm just curious. Just Because we've got so many of you here. How many of you do watch videos without, with or without audio? And are you, is that because you're watching them at work? Are you watching them on in a car? Yeah, everywhere. We're watching them everywhere, right? So, Rad, you watch videos without audio. You're saying that you...
If I'm next to someone and I don't want to disrupt them, I'll swipe and I'll like, I know that the people I'm following put captions and I can watch their videos reliably with captions.
Okay. So that app that's $8 a month is well worth it. And you say it's called Captions. There's another one called CapCut, and it's worth it.
I prefer CapCut. It's really powerful and it's free, but it takes longer. It's longer. Captions is great. Looks amazing. It's instant.
Yeah.
But there's less customization.
I mean,
it's worth it.
It's. I know you should have an affiliate link, dude.
I should.
Are you doing affiliate marketing? Just one last question. Like, did you get started doing it before you started selling some of your own and writing some of your own stuff? Or do you have affiliate offers laced throughout your emails or anything?
Yeah, so I collect emails. I send mostly impactful emails, but then there's a couple of affiliate things with products I use. People, if you're using Linktree on your bio, which I was before, there's a much better option. It's called stan.store. If you go to my Instagram, you get a free 14-day trial. I get a little kickback, but it's really much prettier. And I've seen the conversions just skyrocket. Like it's 75 to 80%. Stan.store.
So go to his Instagram. You see his Instagram tag and go set up a trial. Let's get him some kickbacks on that for his time today and see if that's an app that you guys enjoy. That's fine. You know, the tools are evolving, man. The tools are evolving. There's no right or wrong way. I've always used a some sort of a page builder so I could collect that email address and have one option when they click to that, you know, to that landing page, if you will. I've never much liked the link trees of the world that have four or five different things, because the truth of the matter is that in my 10-year direct response marketing experience, I've learned one thing: that people can't make decisions and they don't know what they want. And the reason why they're at your Instagram or they're now seeking more information is because they want you to tell them exactly every, like, even if you presented two choices, their question would be, which one do you think I should go with? 100% of the time. Right. And so, but it's about testing and it's about finding what makes sense for you. And so go try out that tool over at his Instagram. You've got his handle up there. See if it's something that makes sense for you. And Rad, I'd like to maybe do, when you get to Vietnam or whenever the hell, wherever you are in a couple of months, maybe we could do a follow-up show.
I'd be happy to.
All right, man. Cool, brother. Well, dude, safe travels. We'll follow your journey and hopefully have you back on the show real soon.
Let's do it. Thanks for having me.
All right, bro. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Rad. All right, my friends. Wow, what a cool episode and so many nuggets. He was talking about, you know, rewatching things to be able to find. This is going to be one of those sessions to where you'd benefit probably to go back through and make sure that you picked up on all the little tips that he gave along the way. And we've still got his TikTok and Instagram handle up on the screen. And, you can go and check that out, and we'll check you out back here tomorrow, same place, same time, for another episode. Peace.